Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls today here on New Life.
Your show, that's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here on this September the 8th with Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hello.
And Dr. Dave Stoop.
Greetings. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. I think what we're going to do today is go right to the phones.
Oh,
it's
okay.
An unusual thing.
It's your choice.
But before we go to the phones, I want to go to the website. And I want to show you something. A lot of people don't know this, but you can go to our website, and here comes the homepage right up. You can go here to the website. And maybe you have a question. Here is a whole list of questions, and all you have to do is click on one. And when you click on a question, which is about to happen, a question is going to be clicked on. Here it is. They're trying to find the way to click on
the cursor
a question
is blind.
Right here. I guess they're having cursor problems, which is causing me to become a cursor. Click on something. There you go. You ask a question, takes about 5 seconds, and then it comes up on this video, and here we are answering this question, and there it is. And so if you have a specific question, if you can't get through, you go to the website and you look up that question, and there it is. All right, now let's go to the phones, and let's talk with Abrams. He's calling from Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hello there.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, I had my question was, is it ever or is there a time when it's appropriate for, I guess, guys and girls who are just friends to talk or confess their sexual struggles?
The question I would have is, why would you do that with someone of the opposite sex when you've got these great people of the same sex to do that with? Other than the fact that maybe you don't have any friends to do that with?
Maybe some background would help, but there are a few girls that I'm close to as friends who've told me or sort of confessed to me incidents that are very personal and sort of their deepest, darkest secrets. And as we've become friends, one of their common complaints to me has been, you know, You don't admit to any of
you don't reciprocate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and the only thing I haven't ever really discussed with them or keep to myself, or I mean, is the areas where I struggle with sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason is because some of the ways that they have sort of experienced heard from people is very close to things that I myself would have come close to doing.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm sorry?
How old are you?
27.
27, okay. Interesting that you have these girls saying these things. Now, would it help just to say, oh, I have struggled, without going into detail?
My question is, would it even be worth opening up like that when it's a question of, them wanting to, I guess, be better friends?
Okay. Well,
share secrets.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll give you an answer. This is New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. We'll take this break and come back for more of New Life Live.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Dave, Jill, what do you think about sharing these intimate details of your problems with other folks? Think it's a good idea?
Well, I think, you know, for a man, you begin by sharing these things with a few other men that you trust.
Right.
You're talking, Abrams, about a level of intimacy that it doesn't sound like you're comfortable with. And I'm not sure why you would need to push the envelope on it. I'd also add, though, if it's one-on-one with another woman, boy, that would be really a dangerous situation. If it's with a group, you know, then it's, you know, you're a lot younger than I am, so it's different than what I would do.
Assuming you've never been married? Is that a right assumption?
I haven't.
You haven't been married. Okay. Okay. So, and single people, you know, their friends are kind of, you know, an extension of family and are their companions. And so I can see where, you know, you might be in a group and sharing different things. But I think you have to, I mean, I'm hearing a sensitivity maybe to the women as well as a sensitivity to your comfort level. And so I think you have to listen to yourself and maybe push yourself a little bit, but not too far. Kind of take that a step at a time and really see, you know, because when you share with another person, you want to kind of take a step toward that or take a risk, but then kind of wait and see what's done with it and kind of be able to talk about it instead of sharing too much too fast and then regretting that you shared and feeling too exposed.
What do you think?
What if my concern is that if I shared something of my struggle, it would hit too close to home for some of them?
Well,
that's a valid concern. And I think
you could even say to them, you know, I've become so aware in all that you have shared that I wouldn't want to be one of those hurtful men. And I'm aware that my past could sound that way.
There you are. What do you think?
Okay.
Well said.
That sounds reasonable, actually.
That's so about a $450 piece of advice.
Well,
right there.
Sometimes we get caught up in the content of what we're talking about, and sometimes that means we need to take a step back and talk about the process of talking, so how we feel about talking versus answering the question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Good point.
Yeah. Okay. That helps a lot.
Well, it really could be helpful to them to see that you feel horrible about it.
Yeah. That you have regret.
See, a lot of times people, they think that when something abusive has happened to them, that people walk away going, hoo-hoo, boy, I'll never forget that. That was wonderful abuse. Mm-hmm. I loved myself for doing that. When in reality, that isn't the way you feel about it at all, is it?
No.
Right.
They need to know that.
That would be helpful to them.
That many times their abuse has produced tremendous regret inside the abuser. They're not all bad people.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to send you walking into... Oh, you had another question?
No. I was just wondering about that, whether it would actually be appropriate or not to even bring it up or express regret.
Your expression of regret could be very instrumental in their healing and moving on.
It's an empathic statement, which means you understand.
Your feelings are a window into how a man thinks.
Okay. Glad you called. I'm going to send you walking into walls. It is my new book. We offered it all of August, and we're going to offer it today in September. So Walking Into Walls, coming your way. All right, let's go to Ella from Santa Rosa, California, listens online. Hello, Ella.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. How about you?
Well, I'm doing okay right now. I'm doing fine.
Okay.
I'm just, however, calling in regards to kind of a marital thing.
All right.
Yeah, I've been married for 5.5 years.
But just kind of married?
Say it again.
We said kind of married. I'm just saying, so you've just been kind of married for 5.5 years?
Well, no, we've been married for 5.5 years.
The real thing.
Faithfully, as far as I know, my husband, I believe, is a faithful man. And
all right.
Denies any sort of, ever having any really troubles with pornography or anything. So I'm thankful for that. I try to believe that, and I think it's true. It's just, but that's not my question. My question is, we have, like, this ongoing conflict with finances.
Yeah.
And I find myself being pretty angry with him. And, like, even this morning I woke up, like, really early, and I was just so angry at him. And, like, I'm literally, like, why am I so mad at him?
To the point
where, like, it's affecting me.
All right. Tell us the worst financial thing he's ever done that bugs you the most.
Oh, I just feel like he's so parental. I know that doesn't sound like horrible, but it's just like on an ongoing basis. It's like scrutinizing every little purchase I make to the point where I feel kind of paralyzed, to the point where I feel like he's so degrading of or like controlling of me and like how I don't know.
So Ella,
yeah.
Do you think by just looking at how you each deal with finances, we could tell a ton about your personalities?
Mm-hmm.
So, because a lot of times, either sexually or financially, people kind of play out who they are and what their fears are.
Mm-hmm.
When did you guys stop having sex?
We have sex, it's just what it is.
Okay, but now listen to that. It is what it is. I would think it would be difficult to be sexual with a man who's so demeaning and controlling with money.
Totally,
is that true?
Totally is.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've never known a woman when a man says, did you get the store brand or did you get the big generic thing? And did you know there was a special at another store down the street you could have gone to? And the woman said, let's go get in that bed.
It's a real turn
on. It just doesn't happen. It's worse than a man standing there in black socks. I'm just saying. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So you're experiencing something that is very normal. And I wish for you a wonderful, intimate life, and I just know if he continues with this, it's going to be extremely difficult to ever get there.
I wonder what would happen if you were to say to him in a non-conflict situation, you know, if you weren't so controlling about money, we could have a much better sex life.
Okay, I'll try anything.
It would be interesting based on what Steve was saying.
Well, and also, instead of arguing over the tit-for-tat type of things, to be looking at and maybe even asking him, at what point did he stop trusting you?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
really he ever trust me? I mean, really?
Well, right.
I don't know.
Well, right.
Yeah.
You know, but he trusted you enough to marry you, but at some point he stopped trusting you. So there's some trust issues in his background.
Mm-hmm.
That he feels like he has to have tight control or what? Hmm. What's going to happen? What is he afraid of?
I know, yeah.
So you have to get to the things beneath the money.
I love the question of what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
And then there's another question. Is it worth it? Is the money that we save worth it for you and I to have this disconnection?
Yeah.
I guarantee you it isn't. It's not worth it.
I agree.
But you've only been married 5.5 years. Deal with this now. Don't let this be a 25-year argument.
No. I can't handle it. It's like disgusting. It's so disturbing.
And here's the advice for you, okay?
Yeah.
You have to forgive him. Oh, it's horrible. And accept him with his weaknesses. Yeah.
But if you look at what's fueling it, then you can have compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can address that instead of getting so angry.
You don't excuse it, and you really don't allow it. You connect with him over it while you're trying to forgive and trying to accept that you married a broken marriage partner.
Well, we're all broken. But let me give you another way you can approach this. I agree with everything that these two compatriots are, because we always agree. No, we don't always.
No, we don't.
I wonder if you were to, in a kind of a lighthearted way, catastrophize what you think is happening in terms of the money and say, you know, I was thinking today about doing blah, 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 and then spending money on this, and then just take it, you know, to the extreme, and then stop and say,
I'll have a panic attack.
Well, before he has the panic attack, say, what does that stir up in you? What kind of fear does that trigger in you if that was to really happen? And you know, just as a way to introduce it, kind of catch him off guard a little bit, you'd have to be really good at keeping it light, but also kind of, you know, it's interesting when you can catastrophize something. Mm-hmm. It almost becomes the absurd, and the other person,
you can see it more clearly,
sees it. But it also can stir up what he's really struggling with, and it brings it to the surface. So that's another way that you could approach that. So
I like that.
Think on it.
I like that a lot. All right. Really glad that you called. I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls, and hopefully that'll help him with his stubborn resistance, and it'll help both of you with your disconnection.
Thank you.
All right. Dave, what's a great don't you have a devotional that maybe could bring
just
in?
Us.
Yeah. Just
yes.
us. All right.
A devotional for couples, yeah. Just us.
Hold on. We'll get those to you. Let's go to Kendra from Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on that home station of mine, WQME. K, where did that come from? WQME.
Kendra, K. Kendra begins with K.
Yes.
Yeah.
K for Kendra.
Well, hello and welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Well, I got a question for you. I'm starting to feel resentment towards my in-laws.
Really?
So sorry, standard.
That's why they call them in-laws, I guess.
And I kind of approach things by, if I can't get over something, confront it. And so I want to know, my question for you is, do I approach them about the lack of initiation that they're showing in getting to know my daughter?
Okay.
And it's their granddaughter?
Their granddaughter, yes. Okay.
All right. So what does your husband say about it?
Well, so far we have been approaching it as kind of reactionary to what they do.
What do they do?
And they really don't make an effort to get to know her. My husband is one of two. He has an older brother who has three children.
Yeah.
And it's one of these that when I'm on the phone with my mother-in-law, I get kind of get her guilt trip of, well, we never see you guys. We never do this. You know, people don't know my grandkids. But on the flip side, I have extended, you know, or opened up our home to them, said, hey, you're welcome to come at any point in time for a play date. We live an hour away from each other, so it really is.
Yeah, awesome. Just an hour. Wow.
Yeah, and we see them like at holidays and stuff like that. However, we see them making tons of initiating a lot in the relationships with the other grandkids.
Do they live closer?
They live further away. They live 3 hours away.
Hmm. Oh, the other grandkids live 3 hours away?
They live 3 hours away. So,
And your husband hasn't talked to them about it?
We have not confronted them.
No, don't confront them. But I'm just, okay. If I was in this situation, I'd be saying, okay.
Well, I haven't heard how your husband handles it, Kendra.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Steve asked you a bit ago, how does your husband handle them, his parents? What does he do with his parents about this
pretty
issue?
Pretty much, he's pretty hands-off. He is pretty
just
strong-willed.
Like his parents.
And so he moved out at age 19 and didn't move back in. And as far as family contact, I mean, he loves his family. And his mom does lean on him And we talk with them, and when we're with them, we have pleasant times and stuff like that. But he's never been a big initiator in family relationships on his side.
Okay. I think your challenge is to get him to have a conversation that is just really simple.
That's your husband's issue.
I'm kind of feeling like you guys aren't interested in my child and my baby. And I'm just wondering, do you guys notice that you're just kind of not here much? Is there something I've done to offend? I mean, just a conversation about it, and not anger, and not disappointment, but just, hey, you know.
Or I'm confused that you say you never see your grandchild, yet you don't make the effort to come.
Then later he can have a conversation about, you know, I've been thinking about this. It really hurts me that you know, but it's got to start with a conversation.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Kendra?
You still there, Kendra?
Kendra? Are you there?
Did we lose her?
Let's make the comment. Maybe she'll hear it.
Okay.
You know, we were talking.
We were talking about this. And Kendra, I said before, and I wanted to reiterate, that this is an issue that your husband needs to handle. And my guess is, just from the little bit you described about him leaving home and that he was kind of a loner kid. He wasn't that integrated into the family, and it wasn't because of anything with him. The second kid often relates more to dad, and if dad is kind of a passive or a workaholic or, you know, non-relational guy, then the second kid kind of feels like, I got to take care of myself.
Especially if the older one was more engaging.
Yeah, and you know, the older one often relates more to mom,
right,
and mom's more engaging. So, yeah. So it's kind of a reflection, you know, the way he was dealt with in his family, now your daughter's being dealt with in the family. That's why he's the one that's got to kind of step up to the plate and have that conversation.
So, Kendra, I think you're getting a glimpse of how your husband felt in his family.
Mm-hmm. Growing up. Glad she called about that. Because I do think that was insightful on your part there, Dave.
Yeah, why don't we send her Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves?
Let's do it.
It might be something for them to look at in terms of understanding. Because there's a whole half that book's on
Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves.
How families work or don't work.
Along with my favorite book, Walking Into Walls. Coming your way. Here we go. Let's go to Diane from New Albany, Indiana. WFIA is the station. Hi there.
Hi. I never anticipated being on here today. I called in to order your book.
which book did you call to order?
The Walls.
Good.
Thank you.
You all have ministered to me so much, and now to my grandchildren with your books through the years.
Well, thank you.
And to my family. And I just wanted to appreciate, just to thank you for all that you do on the radio, for your books, for just all the help that you give us.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. How could we help you right now?
I really didn't call in to ask the question, to be honest. I really called in to ask the book, but since I got through, it was something I had always wanted to ask you to, if you could just elaborate a little bit on. And that is, why do we go back and marry someone that was like our parents?
I know you talk about business,
but you know we're not even aware that we do it. And
no,
we do
we're
it.
Not. Who would you marry, your dad or your mom?
My dad. Is it possible that you can marry your mom as well?
Yeah, you typically marry the parent that you have some unresolved issues with, because you think, well, I couldn't work it out with them, so I'll work it out with somebody just like them.
You don't think that.
No, you don't
think
that. But that's the dynamic of what goes on. And so if you had some unresolved stuff with your dad, then you'd probably marry somebody like your dad. And then I've seen people where, you know, dad was an alcoholic, so I married an alcoholic, and then I divorced him, and then I married a gambling addict, you know. And you go the opposite extreme, or else then you marry your mother.
Right.
To answer the question, it would be unresolved issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all you know.
Yeah, it's a repetition. Yeah.
It's our default position. It's what we fall back to. It feels familiar.
I was talking with my son this morning, and his 20-year-old daughter, boyfriend, came by. And I said, what was he like? You know, and he's telling me about him, and I said, sounds kind of like you. And she's got an incredible relationship with her dad.
Yeah.
And so she found this incredible guy that's very much like her dad, which that's the opposite of it, where, you know, you honor a parent so much that you just look for a replacement for them. So there's various dynamic, but you said it's all we know, you know, our parents and their marriage is basically what we know, and so we repeat a lot of those things that we know.
My daughter was talking about her boyfriend, and I said, well, how does he treat you? Oh, dad treats me like a princess. Well,
who else did that?
That's how I treated her. So it worked out to the positive.
Yeah.
But a lot of times,
works in both directions.
Let's just say that you have a very demanding, rigid father, and then you get around a man that's all touchy-feely and wanting to know all of it. It's so uncomfortable, you go back to, as Jill said, the default of, I need to find a man that's more like dad. I mean, you're not conscious of this, but it's what you're comfortable with.
Something that's more comfortable. Yeah. This is too close.
Or if you marry the opposite, then you try to make them into the opposite
they become
of what they are.
They're attractive, and then they're very disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you have answered a question that I never anticipated that you would answer.
What was that?
What I thought was, I thought I married my father, but I didn't. I married my mother, and I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, yes, you can. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And how was your mother? What was she like?
My mother was very distant. My mother was very distant, and she's the one that I probably have the issues with. It wasn't my father.
My
father was distant a little bit in a different way, but I think it's more my mother.
Yeah. And then the way that you end up marrying someone that probably isn't a good choice is because your mom doesn't teach you how to connect with a woman by connecting with you. You don't end up with really intimate female relationships that would, you know, tell you, I think this might be a mistake here.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of on your own. Is that true? Did that happen?
It did. It did.
You know, Diane,
I've developed female relationships because of what you've talked about. To get some healing in that area. So I've got some strong female relationships, but I never looked at that as far as in a marriage.
When I work with couples, one of the things I ask in the first session is to tell me about the family you grew up in. And one of the things I'm looking for is, who did you marry, your mom or your dad? And sometimes it's like, it's so enlightening.
Yeah.
And you think it's so obvious, but, you know, it takes some thought to see which one.
Mm-hmm. There's a connection problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got some insight. Now that you know, now you can...
She already bought that book, so it's under Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves.
Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves. I'll send you the mom factor, too. It's a great book.
It's a good one.
All these books are available at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Really appreciate that call. I think it's so common, so common, so many people. Let's go over here to Sam, Honey Grove, Texas. Hey, Sam, where's Honey Grove, Texas?
Yeah.
Where is Honey Grove, Texas?
It's about between Paris and Sherman, Texas.
Okay, all right. Well, how could we help you today? What's going on in your life that needs some attention?
Oh, I have a question about what does it mean confessing your sin so that you might be healed? And then also in Psalms I read that whoever covers up his sin will not prosper.
Yeah. So you're referring to James 5:16. It says, says confess your sins. Does it say to God?
Mm-mm.
No, it says confess your sins one to another, pray for each other that you might be healed.
Uh-huh.
So what part of that is difficult to understand?
To whom do I confess it? Like to the pastor, to a friend, to the whole congregation, to everybody that knows me, or like how far does that go? Like how what exactly is it like? If I confess my sin, like to whom do I do that?
Well, I think it means to be in relationship so that you have people that you're connected enough to that you could share some personal things about yourself. So a friend, a support group, members of the church.
Well, there's a history to it, Sam. You go back to the early church in Acts. People were connected to each other, as Jill is saying. And confessing
Community. Means
that I agree with what happened. I don't, so I, confess to God and I confess to one another. Then as time went on, the church developed a formal confession where you confess to a priest. And that became the trend. The first therapist. But that's kind of the way it has gone, and still is today in the Roman Catholic Church. Then the Reformation came along and said, "Oh no! All we have to do is confess to God," in a reaction to the confessing to a priest. And we lose sight of what James said, that we need to confess one to another. And I think that basically that means we need to be in agreement with people that are in our lives about the things that we do that are wrong, that we agree with it. That I did that, and I'm sorry I did that. And instead of, as you pointed out from the Psalms, of covering my sin and pretending it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so it means I agree with what happened. I don't try to defend. I don't get defensive. I don't try to cover it up. And I have people in my life, other believers, with whom I can be open and honest and real with, and simply say, boy, did I really mess that one up? I did that.
Well, and the very act of doing that, of taking it out of darkness into the light, is part of what heals us.
It's healing. It's a healing
right?
action.
Because
yes.
we distort right. things inside mm-hmm. ourselves, and then we have shame, and that's why we cover up. That's why exactly. Adam and Eve got the fig leaves.
Sam, right? what do you think about that?
Yeah, it makes sense.
What was the problem for you? Do you just tell us why the question a little mm-hmm. bit so we can understand you?
It has to do with sexual sin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Seems like I just can't get over. I know it's wrong, and I eventually I just feel the pressure of it. You know, just that.
And you're not talking about with another person, right?
No.
Okay. Let me just say this. We talk about this a lot. And I want to ensure you that that particular problem does not encompass all of your relationship with God.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes if we fall in that particular area, we think, oh, everything between me and God is messed up. God hates me. But God knows the struggle that is, especially in this day and age. I'm not letting you off the hook. I'm just telling you, if you feel condemnation over that, the Lord said he came not to condemn, but uh-huh. that you would have life and have it more abundantly. So uh-huh. I would just say you need to do whatever it takes. And confessing, there's a start, but why don't you come to every man's battle and just get it taken care of, the whole realm of sexual integrity. You're really troubled by this, mm-hmm. and that could really give you the victory you're looking for.
Yeah. And that becomes a context in which to confess
yes.
your sin in an accepting, safe place with other men who are doing the same thing and who understand, and so you don't get judgment and condemnation.
Well, and I can see why you're concerned about who should I tell? Do I tell everyone? Well, no. Mm-hmm. You go to safe places, mm-hmm. and depending on what it is, you have to share. So.
Yeah.
Sharing with people who would understand that is an important thing to do.
Okay.
Stay on the line.
Yeah.
And
we'll give you information about it.
Tell you more about Every Man's Battle. It's an incredible program.
Okay. Well, I tell you, that's a tough one because especially younger guys, a lot of times they think, well, if I'm involved in self-sex, then I have no place in the kingdom of God.
And I'm a pariah.
Well, let me just point out, if Sam is still listening, he just confessed to us. Mm. So that was a start.
There you go. Very wise,
Good
Jill.
Point.
Thank you for that. Let's go to John from Thermopolis, Wyoming.
Hello, Dr. Arteburn.
Hey, how you doing? Is that how you pronounce it?
Thermopolis.
Been on hold for 2.5 hours, but it's all worth it.
Oh.
Well, I'm glad that you
got
hung in there.
Endurance and perseverance.
Yeah, you get the patience award then.
Yes.
Well, God is patient with me, and I've been hung up in a snare for 21 years, and you guys have finally, between the three of you, you've convinced me that I'm responsible for my actions, and I need to do something about it.
Good.
My question is, to start with, it's very complex, but I don't want to waste your time.
You're not wasting our time. This is what we do for a living.
Yes.
This is our job, and we love it.
I've got bipolar illness that has been successfully medicated for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I don't really have the cycling or any of the symptoms like I had before it was properly medicated. But I have struggled with sexual integrity and pornography and such since I was 13 years old. When I became a Christian at 16, it went away for several months, and I had a zeal for God. But then it started creeping back. Then when I got married, I came clean for quite a while. And now the temptation, now that I've been married for 16 years, and my wife is in menopause, the devil is trying to tempt me to justify letting pornography back in, and I'm wondering, is it because of the bipolar that I seem to be weakened? I found a great success when I confessed to another brother that I struggle with that occasionally, and we got on board with the Love Dare book and your book on Every Man's Battle. But I'm wondering, what part does bipolar play in? Does it make me need more help to be able to have success than the average guy, or is it just immaterial?
Well, let me ask you a different question, okay? And then we'll come back to that. Your wife is in menopause.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So maybe you're saying that because she's in menopause, she doesn't like to have sexual intercourse?
That's correct. I go many weeks and sometimes months before she'll even allow me to have any kind of contact with her.
Yeah. Well,
and so that does not help when you have a background of pornography.
Well, you have to work that out, though. You have to
trying, and we're seeing some success. She's finally gone to a doctor to try to get tested to see if her testosterone is low or whatever.
But even if the doctor can do nothing, you want to express to her that you want to be with her sexually, whether or not it involves sexual intercourse.
Right.
You want to integrate that part back into your relationship because you love being close to her in that way, and it is very fulfilling to you, like nothing else that you could do.
Right.
And, you know, a woman, she has to, I believe, has to be willing to look at other things other than intercourse. That she can't just say, because I have this menopause thing, we're done, and you go do the best you can. That's the mistake. Mm-hmm. So the answer is really an intimate connection with her where you could even approach the topic.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah. And so we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and give you a couple more insights.
Talk about the bipolar.
Right after this, and get back to the bipolar issue. And I really am glad you called. This is a huge issue. That if you live long enough, you're going to deal with it. And so we want to help you with it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call if you need some help. 1-800-539-5466. And that isn't it. 1-800-639-5433. That's the number. Call that one. We'll be back after this. I have no idea.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit.
Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, Steve Arterburn, and let's go right back to John here. And we want to talk about the bipolar.
John, there's one way that the bipolar might be involved in that when you were actively bipolar before you were medicated successfully, you develop patterns of behavior, and if that isn't dealt with at the same time that the meds, you know, were being adjusted, those patterns are still there, and that may be a factor. It's not related to the chemistry of the bipolar. It's related more to some of the behaviors that you experienced when the bipolar was acting out. But the other aspect of it that I'm thinking of is that somehow you underestimate the power of an addiction. And a lot of times men will underestimate the power of a sexual addiction with pornography because it seems like, well, it's nothing. But what they are finding is that that pornography can be just as powerful as a literal affair with somebody in terms of what it does to our chemistry inside as a man. And so don't underestimate that. I would encourage you to consider coming to one of the Everyman Battle Weekends and where you can deal with that. And I would encourage you, not just because it's going to help you deal with the addiction part, but it would also become a means to have this conversation with your wife that Steve was talking about and saying, you know, this is an issue, and the issue is compounded by what happens between us, but I'm going to deal with my part of it, and I'm going to go to one of these Everyman Battle Weekends. And I'm glad you're going to see the doctor so you can deal with your part of what goes on between us.
She's willing. Now you'd be willing.
And so right. It balances it, and it just also adds some seriousness to your conversation with her. So that would deal with the behavioral residual of some of the bipolar days when it was active.
Right. But it's a good question.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it is.
To stay on top of that.
Yeah, go ahead.
But biochemically, I don't think it has anything to do with it at this stage.
If you've been on your meds.
That's all being controlled by the meds, yeah.
Yes, John?
Yeah. Can I add one other thing?
Sure.
My wife has been diagnosed with clinical depression, but she has never found a medicine that she could stomach for very long. And so she's either angry or sad a lot of the time,
When's the last time that she was with a psychiatrist who prescribed a medication?
Would have been 2 years ago.
Well, they've got brand new medications in the past 2 years that might be just the exact thing that she needs.
Well, I'm on this kick, Sam or John. Does she exercise?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
She does a half an hour of Taibo or something each day to try to stay in shape. She's come a long way to lose some of the extra weight that she had at some point.
Okay, but she's
trying that.
Exercise could be a real part of what goes on in the body with depression. Mm-hmm. The hippocampus shrinks when you're depressed, and exercise helps it to redevelop. The other thing is she might benefit then from some cognitive behavioral therapy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if the meds don't agree with her system, so
we're looking for a counselor that would work on income based. We don't make a lot of money,
right?
And,
let us see if we can help.
I'd like to go to it, but I have to work almost every Saturday.
Hey, listen, we've got people that help you. We've got somebody that'll help you financially. We have a man that gave to help with scholarships to Every Man's Battle.
And you take a Saturday vacation.
So hold on, I want to be sure. Now, if you don't get connected, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and you call them right now and say, hey, Steve said there was some kind of scholarship thing.
And you talk to them about a counselor in your area that works on a sliding scale.
That's right. I'm glad you called, John. God bless you there, buddy. Okay. Tomorrow, right here on this show, as Ed Sullivan used to say, we're going to do something different and very special. It's a program focused on addiction and addiction treatment, specifically how the 12 steps are used to help somebody with addiction, whatever the addiction is. Now, we're going to have a special guest who was with us before, Bill Moss, and it's going to be a great show. And I want to encourage you, if you have an addiction issue, this would be the show.
Or if somebody in your family yes. has an addiction issue, and that's about one out of three people in
right.
the world.
So come join us. Also, on our website, newlife.com, there's a wonderful video of Temple Grandin. You've heard us talk about autism and Asperger's and the spectrum there. She's on the Asperger's end of the spectrum. She's a fascinating woman. Mm-hmm. Many of the ways that animals are handled today are because of her genius. You might want to just check out that video. It'll really help you understand some people in your life that are very brilliant, but they cannot connect socially or interact in a very personal way. You had something you were going to say, Dave?
No.
Nothing? Okay. All right, and then Club New Life. We're looking for 1,000 brand new, spanking new members this year, and we just need 4 a day, and we've been doing great, and maybe this is your day that you would call and say, I'm going to be part of that Club New Life family, where every month I do a CD for you that includes some of the best calls, a couple of our best calls that we don't want you to miss, a teaching from someone on our team, an update on the ministry. We have events where you're invited, you're part of an online community, just a lot of things that go on. And so come join this club. Be a member of the giving family of New Life, and you can find out how to do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. That's the number to call. Or perhaps you're able to come along and help us make up for the August doldrums that we always go through, and you've got a one-time gift. That would be a blessing. When you join Club New Life, we will send you Every Man's Battle,
Bible.
Or Every Man's Bible, or the Life Recovery Bible, or Walking Into Walls, whatever you'd like. And you just tell us, and we'll get that to you. Dave, you want to share some scripture with us as we close out the program?
Yeah, I did a study recently that was fascinating. I read something about the ancient paths in Jeremiah 6:19. It talks about the ancient paths. And so I thought, what is that? So you do a word study on paths. And it's like in Psalm 119, he says, those who do not compromise with evil and walk only in his paths. Mm. So there's basically two paths that we can walk in our life. One is God's path, and one is the world's path. And then Jesus brings that up when he says, you know, there's two roads. One is broad and leads to destruction. The other is narrow, and straight, and the gate is narrow, and only a few find it. And so it's like there's two ways to live. And one of the things we talk about on the program so much is, you know, do the next right thing, which is to get back on God's path and follow it. And Psalm 119 is fascinating because it talks about, you know, you got to, in Every Man's Bible, there's a pathway to purity. Mm-hmm. And it's all based on Psalm 119, the things that David says in that psalm, or whoever wrote that one, I don't think it was David, you know, and part of it is to hide God's word in our heart.
Yeah,
and that's
amen.
Where I started mm-hmm. with that. Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking the other day when we were in the studio about these three words that are...
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking about pathway to purity. First word is willingness. Am I willing to look at reality mm-hmm. and get help? Secondly, is acceptance. Am I willing to accept that this is something I need support to deal with for the rest of my mm-hmm. life? And this is who I am. And then the third thing would be gratitude. Grateful that I had a problem that would bring me to the end of myself
yeah.
and
right.
get on the pathway to purity and the pathway to God's heart. Three big words that affect all of us: willingness, acceptance,
and that gratitude. You know, I think of Joseph where he says to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God turned mm-hmm. it to good."
Right.
And so the enemy meant it for evil in my life, but then I, you know,
being
used
able to
it
see
to
the good in it.
Turn to God,
yeah.
and that was
right.
the good that came right. out of it. Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of evil things have happened, and many of them may have happened to you, and we're praying that you will allow God to turn them into something good where Satan meant evil. We love you, we care about you, and glad you listen. Hope something we say encourages you, not just to feel better or look better, but to feel, look, and do some better things. That doing part, that's important. Mm-hmm. See you next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.